Let's lift up our voices to heaven and begin to appreciate God again for what God has done in our midst today. Let's appreciate Him. Today is the second day of our week of spiritual emphasis, and the promise of God to us is that the second day is going to revive us. Let's appreciate God for the revival awaiting us in this service. Let's give Him all the praise, even for answers to every of our prayers. Today, let's give Him thanks for the renewal of our strength. Lord, to You be all the glory. And let's ask God that God, in this service, visit me, O Lord, send me my own word. In the mighty name of Jesus, the entrance of Your word gives light and gives understanding unto the simple. Let light come for me by Your word again today, and let Your name alone be glorified. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's put hands together for Jesus as we take our seat in God's presence. Heavenly Father, take Your place. None of me, all of You, O Lord, let Your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. This evening, I count it a great privilege to stand before the people of God to bring the teaching for this second day of our week of spiritual emphasis unto us. And my prayer is that in this service this evening, Lord, we speak to someone in the mighty name of Jesus. And the name of the Lord will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for this great privilege. It's a privilege that will never be abused in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that the grace of God upon God's servant will walk through me today, and the name of the Lord will be exalted in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our prophetic focus for the month of July has been captioned, "Supernatural Breakthrough is My Heritage." Let's say it as if we mean it. Supernatural breakthrough is my heritage. And that shall be our testimony all through this month of July in the mighty name of Jesus. In our Wednesday teachings plus our week of spiritual emphasis, the teaching series that God's servant started with us that we'll be looking at all through this month is captioned "Understanding the Breakthrough Power of Kingdom Stewardship." Understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship. And our anchored scripture is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 9. The word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore, God hath all highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Hallelujah. So this evening, I'm going to start with us by letting us understand that according to Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 2, the word of God makes us to understand that the end time church is ordained a breakthrough church. The end time church is ordained a breakthrough church. The early church, as we know from scripture, enjoyed unusual breakthrough all through. When we look at all the story of all the disciples, we can testify to it that they enjoy unusual breakthrough. And because the end time church is a replica of the early church, therefore, it is ordained for the end time church to enjoy minimum the same order of breakthrough. Haggai chapter 2 verse 9 says, "The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts." So if the early church can enjoy greater glory, then the end time church is ordained to enjoy more greater glory. Hallelujah. We also need to understand that according to scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 4, verse 9, the word of God makes us to also understand that we are God's building. And because we are God's building, we are also ordained as believers, as individuals, to enjoy supernatural breakthrough. We are ordained breakthrough entities. And this evening, My prayer is that as we keep listening to the word of God and doing that which God is speaking to us, we shall manifest our breakthrough entity indeed in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, it was also established to us by God's servant yesterday that according to scripture, the end time church is a reigning church and it is a church of kingdom giants. The end time church is a reigning church and is a church of kingdom giants. If you read the book of Psalm 110 verse 1 to 3 and the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 1 to 11, it is clearly established to us there. But in the book of Joel chapter 2, if you read verse 7, the Bible says, they shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, they shall march everyone on his highways, they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one trust another, they shall walk everyone on his path, and when they fall upon Saul, they shall not be wounded. This is the expectation of God for the end time church, which you and I are part of. Hallelujah. And Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 to 10 also says that, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I pray that no one shall meet their reigning grace in the mighty name of Jesus. The core identity of the end time church before Jesus returns is supernatural breakthrough. That means the end time church will continue to enjoy unusual grace, unusual glory, and unusual honor. The same in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 23 to 27, and we can also read the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 to 20. Bible says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love and will joy over thee with singing. And he says, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a body. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that uttered, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes. Seeth the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. So I pray that God of heaven will turn everyone's captivity around in the mighty name of Jesus. What takes a man from a position of shame to glory and honor is his proven love for God and the interest of the kingdom. And we see Nehemiah demonstrating this very well in the word of God in Nehemiah. If you read entire Nehemiah, we'll see the whole story, Nehemiah chapter 1, chapter 2, and so on. And Nehemiah moved from a cupbearer to a governor by his proven love for God. When our love for God is proven, supernatural breakthrough becomes our natural identity. When we prove our love for God, when I say prove our love for God, it's not just love declared by mouth, but it's a love that is acted upon. We put action into what we declare. Then by so doing, we enjoy supernatural breakthrough perpetually. As we grow in our love for God, we continue to command greater breakthrough day by day. And one way to prove our love for God is through kingdom stewardship, which is a fighter key for us to operate in the realm of the supernatural. Kingdom stewardship is the only way by which we can truly prove that we love God. And when we prove it, God enrolls us for supernatural breakthrough continuously. And what kind of kingdom stewardship are we then talking about that will command supernatural breakthrough? What kind of kingdom stewardship commands supernatural breakthrough? God's servants told us yesterday that one of the kingdom stewardship that commands supernatural breakthrough is soul winning stewardship. And it made us to understand yesterday that Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. The vine is not to bring fruit. If you look at plants, what brings fruit when we look at a plant is the branch. So we are the branch, and God has ordained us to bring fruit. So when we commit ourselves to bringing the souls, to ensuring that the souls are established in the kingdom, then God enrolls us for the supernatural. I pray in this season, God of heaven will cause us to continue to command supernatural breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus. This evening, we are going to look at another kind of kingdom stewardship that commands supernatural breakthrough. And that stewardship is kingdom advancement prayer stewardship. Kingdom advancement prayer stewardship. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 9 to 10, the disciples went to Jesus. When they saw that Jesus Christ was commanding supernatural breakthrough, they went to him to ask him, "Lord, you are getting results. We are not getting results. You are manifesting the supernatural. We are not able to manifest it. What must we do to begin to manifest it?" And Jesus Christ told them in verse 6 that, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And it says in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So this kind of prayer is the prayer that commands supernatural breakthrough. The prayer that is focused on kingdom advancement, not personal desire, not personal pursuit, but seeking after how the kingdom of God will advance, will continually command the supernatural. And that's what Jesus Christ told them. If we read that passage down to verse 11, that it was after they have prayed for the kingdom of God, then he now says that you can now pray for your daily bread. And God's servant has explained to us that your daily bread covers everything. You may be thinking of, "Oh, Father, today give me food. Father, today give me money. Father, today give me job." If you have prayed for the kingdom of God to advance, the only thing you need to do is that, "God, give me my daily bread." And that daily bread covers everything. Praise the Lord. The labor room of prayer is the birthplace of the multitudes into the kingdom. We need to have this understanding. The labor room of prayer is the birthplace of the multitudes into the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 to 8 says, "Before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once?" It says, "For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children." And Acts chapter 6, verse 4 to 7, verse 4 and verse 7 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer." These are the disciples talking. "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And verse 7 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The disciples did not allow the circumstance of that time, the discord among the people, to change their focus from what they are expected to do. They said, "We are giving ourselves to prayer. We are giving ourselves to the ministry of the word. Other people be taking care of those people that need welfare." And by their commitment to prayer, by their commitment to the word of God, we saw what happened to their ministry. The ministry opened up. Many gave their lives to Christ. I pray that many will give their lives to Christ in this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. In the book of Matthew chapter 9 verse 38, and also in the book of John chapter 16 verse 8. And it is in the labor room of prayer that we engage the Holy Spirit for the conviction and for the conversion of every unsaved soul on our harvest field. It is in the labor room of prayer that we commit the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of the harvest, to convert the unsaved, to convert them so that they can come into the house of the Lord. We need to also know that the labor room of prayer is where we engage the reaper agents to go on rampage across our harvest field to draft unprecedented multitudes into all our services for their salvation, for their deliverance, and for their breakthrough. Matthew 13, verse 39 says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. If we are fervent in engaging the Holy Spirit, if we are fervent in engaging the reapers angel or in the labor room of prayer, guaranteed we will see the multitudes gathering in Winners Chapel International Calgary. The effectual fervent prayer of every believer is the gateway to noiseless breakthrough in church growth. The effectual fervent prayer is the gateway to noiseless or sweatless breakthrough in church growth. We see this in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 46 to 47. And Bible says, and they continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And because of their commitment and engagement, God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. But it takes that responsibility from you and I to be committed on the altar of prayer so that we can see the multitude. Jeremiah 30, verse 19 to 21 also says, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry. He says, I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. And I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. He says, their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engage his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord of hosts? We need to understand that the multitudes drawn by prayer through the reaper's angel can only be sustained by the same thing that brought them. If prayer is the one bringing the multitudes, for us to see them established, we need also prayer. So prayer is the key. We bring them in through prayer, we sustain them on the altar of prayer. If we want Christ to be fully formed in any of our new converts or in any of the multitude that God is bringing, we can only make this happen by praying. If we want them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, we must ask God in prayer to engrace them so that they can be fully established. So if prayer is what we bring them, it is the same prayer that will keep them. It is the prayer that will bring the multitudes. It is the same prayer that will keep the multitude. And this is why you and I must continue to engage on the altar of prayer. And as we engage, we command supernatural breakthrough in return. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in prayer, again until Christ be fully formed in them. This is Paul talking. I travail on the altar of prayer to ensure that Christ is fully formed in them. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of God, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. It's not always laboring, talking about you, laboring fervently in prayer, making sure they stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Fresh revelation in the word, which is the key to sustaining supernatural growth, can also be provoked by prayer. A minister can stand here, a pastor can stand here and just talk and talk and talk. If prayer is not in place to empower the word of God, it will just be a mere word. The word of life that triggers supernatural church growth requires prayers for continuous flow. When prayer stops, the word has no life. When prayer stops, the word has no life. Jesus Christ said that the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And it's because those words are backed up by what? By prayer. That is why they become prayer and they become life. So we can see how powerful prayer is in ensuring that multitudes are sustained through the word of God powered by our prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may afflict us and be glorified, even as it is with you today. And Psalm 23 verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. It is the prayer that will make the grass to remain green. When the word of God says grass, what God is saying is the word of God to be effectual, to be powerful, to have the power to deliver, to have the power to break through, to have the power to convict, to have the power to convert, we need to ensure that we engage prayer so that that word can remain potent in doing what it should do. And I pray as we engage in this midst of the year revival season and in operation, by all means, I see the word of God coming from all our altars in Winners Chapel International Calgary being empowered to deliver in the mighty name of Jesus. As we engage our heart in praying kingdom advancement prayers, God continues to supernaturally decorate us openly in all areas of life, thereby attracting people into the kingdom. As we engage, our commitment to praying kingdom advancement prayer brings us as individuals into favor with God, and in turn causes us to be an attraction to our world. When you are committed to praying kingdom advancement prayer, you become an attraction to your word, and that becomes someone's testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. That is why Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things which others are running after, which others are dying for, I am going to deliver them into your hands. And the same thing in Zechariah chapter 8 verse 20 to 23, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities and the inhabitants of one city shall go to the another, say, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, and we also go. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a winner, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard God is with you. And this is only going to be made happen through the altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we started looking at examples of kingdom advancement prayer made stars. God's servants opened our eyes to Moses and Nehemiah, and quickly today we are going to look at Abraham, a passionate intercessor who enjoyed breakthrough all around. We enjoyed breakthrough all around. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 33, we saw what happened to Abraham when God made up his mind to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham engaged God and he was interceding, negotiating the deliverance of Sodom and Gomorrah. It started with 50. God, if you see 50 people, are you going to destroy them? If you see 45, are you going to destroy? If you see 40, are you going to destroy? Until he gets to 10. And when he got to 10, then Abraham departed from the Lord, because Abraham already calculated in his mind that at least I have I have Lot there, I have the wife there, they have their daughters there, they have, definitely those people have also their husband. 10 people must be able to save that nation. But to the contrary, it was not really so. But what is important is Abraham was interceding. Some people, when they hear about the downfall of even another believer, that is when they rejoice, that thank God that yes, something is happening. As believers, we should have the passion to say that no evil should happen to a brother, no evil should happen to a sister. We should be able to be like all and Aaron, holding the hand of Moses, saying, this battle, we must win it. That is our responsibility as believers. And we saw the same thing happening to Abraham. Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice to God. He was obedient to God. He obeyed everything that God commanded him to do. And by that, he commanded supernatural breakthrough. I pray that becomes someone's portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of our time, the third one we are going to look at is Paul. Quickly, Paul is an addicted intercessor. He was a distinguished apostle in the scripture. He was a lover of the gospel of Christ, and he cared for the salvation of souls. If you read Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 25, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. And we need to remember that we are not wasting our time when we are serving God. We are only investing our time for us to be enthroned both in as an entity for God. There is a guaranteed result on every investment that we made into the kingdom. I pray that God of heaven will give us understanding, and I decree that our reward as we engage in kingdom stewardship shall not be taken away in the mighty name of Jesus. If you have been blessed this evening, let's rise up on our feet and give God thanks for the sent word. Let's appreciate God this evening, for God has spoken to us again. Let's return all the glory to Him. This evening, I want to give someone an opportunity to confess Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior. If you are in this house, you don't have any identity with Jesus, supernatural breakthrough is far from such person. If you are in the house, just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you today. Forgive me all my sins. I confess you as my Lord and personal Savior. Today, I will continue to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Please send us the testimony of your salvation, and we'll join you in prayer and ensuring that you are establishing the faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's put hands together for Jesus as we welcome God's servant. Hallelujah.